This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now, our guests today, this afternoon, already you can hear them. Man, they've been talking about making plans. We have with us, around the table, left to right on your radio, Sean Balint, yes. Dr. Greg Furstenow, Mayor Steve Doherty, and St. Francis Hospital. See, this is what I do. I make mistakes. This is what I get paid to do, is make mistakes, make people feel right at home. St. Francis Hospital Administrator, Jim Tempe. Yeah, there you go. So thank you guys all for coming. As we do this once a month, it's nice to have you all here today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It isn't like we don't see each other, but but it's good to come together as a threesome to talk about the great things happening in our great community of Litchfield.
Yeah, and mentioned a threesome, I've heard we've been called the Musketeers and the Stooges. So, depends on your attitude, I guess.
There's a job for you after you retire as mayor.
He's going to open a comedy club.
There you go.
That's his next business.
All right. I don't care who wants to go first as long as somebody does. That's all there.
Well, I'll go ahead. The schools last night, we had a really good meeting from the standpoint that we did. We received very competitive bid packages for our precast concrete and our steel contractors for the new elementary building. It came in on budget, which is fantastic in this day and age, with steel not knowing what steel is going to do. So our construction manager from Petger Construction Management and FGM Architects were very pleased with the bid, and we indicated to the board that we had 7 precast bidders and we had 6 steel bidders, which was up from what we had originally projected. We were thinking 3 to 4 maybe in each category. So we're very happy and very fortunate to get those bids approved last night. So the building project, at least from the concrete side and the steel side, is set. So now bid package 2, which is all of the other bids, are out. And those bids will be received September 2nd. And then we hope to bring the whole entire project to the board at our September meeting. And then the State Street project is ready to go when we get to that point for construction. We're still waiting on when steel would be delivered, and that's what's going to drive the construction process, right? We're still looking at the end of March to get the steel joists necessary to complete the building. So we would anticipate probably a groundbreaking ceremony when the steel, in conjunction with the steel arriving, to start the construction process later next spring. The other good news that was delivered last night, Litchfield's budget is in good shape. When we presented that last night, with a balanced budget, with no deficits other than the deficits that were planned, for the building projects, and with tort, but we had planned that to spend fund balance down. So that was good news on that front on the budget side, that we are going to able to end with a surplus rather than having to borrow from our savings account. So, that all in all, it was a good night at the board meeting. And we're back in school, which is great. We had preschoolers yesterday. It was fantastic to see our 3- and 4-year-old show up yesterday. And, it's just a great time. My office is in Siler, and it's just a great thing to see all of our kids. I've been in and out of our buildings, and it's just a good feeling to have kids back in school. So we've got quite a bit going on. So I'll turn it over to the mayor.
Let's see if Sean has some questions.
Well, I was just going to bring up Petger real quick. And having seen the way they work with the board and work with you, I mean, it just seems like they are the best of both worlds, where they're still kind of true to those Clinton County roots nearby, and yet a world-class construction firm that has a reach with headquarters here in this region, Charlotte, North Carolina. They just have a great hands-on approach.
Yeah, I think that was when the board was interviewing architects and construction managers firms at that point in time. They just felt very comfortable with Emily Spindler, who is our architect out of FGM, and Corey Noder out of Petker. They just felt good with them. We had taken a look at other facilities that the two of them had worked well on to put together. And with the amount of work potentially coming to Litchfield with the State Street School, some other health, life, safety work, depending upon where that goes with another elementary school, and the Innovation Center, we needed a firm that could be able to develop and lead on multiple projects, and they have met our needs.
Okay, John, I'd like to get the only negative I can think of today, and then we'll address all the positives that are coming to Litchfield.
Sounds good.
We just got the census report. We see where the city has lost population, but I had was encouraged last night to hear that the school district is actually increasing in a lot of levels. So the future looks good, and all I can say is it would have been a lot worse had the city not assisted several industries in staying here. McKay Auto Parts for one, Dometic for another. We're helping them both grow. Unfortunately, we're losing Shutton Manufacturing. We tried to do what we could there, but because of the situation in the state, they apparently found a better offer. But we look forward to helping them fill that building, and I think that'll happen quickly.
Yeah.
So that's the only negatives. The positives, last week we sent out five packets in regards to the Eagle Ridge subdivision. Today we had two more calls, and there's just a lot of attention to it. And I signed four or five last week, lease reassignments. So there's a lot of activity at the lake. People are buying property out there. So that's very encouraging to us.
Well, that's wonderful that that's going on. One of the other things that certainly is going on, Sean and I were talking about it earlier, to finally get a party in the park, and, of course, the Pickers markets are doing well. It is unfortunate, but I guess not, that we're losing our tourism director.
We are, and I'm happy for Sarah that she's found a step up. She's earned it. She's made good connections around the state, and she's shown herself to be successful in what she does. We're working with her right now for a smooth transition. She has agreed to help us through the next two Pickers markets, so we'll be good there. And then after we develop the full list of the job description, we will be looking at new interviews. And I remember, doesn't seem like 7 years ago, and I told Sean this, that we interviewed Sarah, and she had some experience at a zoo, I think, in Champaign or something, and that was about it. But her aspirations were in marketing, so we thought, yeah, this is a girl we could give a chance to, and she came through. And
did she ever?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, she had a lot of help. With the Pickers Market, Mark Brazel came to us with that idea. Wanted to do it on Old Route 66 and basically closed down traffic. And I said, well, let's do it downtown. We've got spaces marked with parking spaces, and there's businesses are usually closed, and maybe they'll open. And it worked from day one. So they put a lot of work into it and made it happen.
It sure did. There's no doubt about that. Everybody talks about infrastructure. And I know every time we talk about infrastructure. Yeah. But there's always things proceeding, progressing, going on. What's the latest with the water projects? Are they all pretty much completed now as far as out to the lake, the new subdivision and all that?
The new water line to the new subdivision has been replaced, and we're working on looping that to Solar Circle so that it's redundant. It will be served from two different directions, so if there's ever a break somewhere, you won't be totally out of business there. So we're working with HMG Engineering on that. who, by the way, is the engineering company that's bringing the line from Mount Olive. Other infrastructure projects, I just talked with Dr. Furson out here about sidewalks. Our resident engineer, Art LaVoy, is working on a sidewalk list project and this kind of thing. Of course, we'll be looking for funding. But I just talked with Dr. Furson now about a routes to schools grant that's available for sidewalks, et cetera, and lights and signs and that kind of thing. And they're going to help us write for that grant. So, you know, meeting together, working together, talking together, it produces good results. But other infrastructure, you know, we're going to keep applying for money. We're going to try not to raise rates. I'm going to keep trying to add new customers to our water system so that we can stabilize rates and still maintain our system. So, yeah. But the major one that we're just is at probably $1.4 million to $1.9 million now. This serves the lake recreational areas. We're replacing the lagoon, which the Illinois has decided is not usable anymore, and we'll be directly connecting the recreational plumbing, basically, to our water treatment facility. And that price keeps going up, so we're going to hurry that project.
Well, I would imagine. So, you mentioned sidewalks, and certainly all over town, there's a lot of sidewalks that, A, need to be replaced, and all over town, there's sidewalks that probably should be put in. The opportunity for grant money for sidewalks is there. Is that right?
Well, or we have benevolent funds that that always listen to any requests we have. We're looking at the infrastructure grants that are available from both the state and the feds at this point. We'll be getting our first ARCA payment probably in the next couple of weeks, which would be half of what we're going to get in total. And we're looking to see how much of that we can spend on infrastructure as opposed to replenishing our budget and this kind of thing. So, you know, it all comes with strings. So, but we're hoping we can use some of that.
Yeah, that's terrific news, though. And everything that we do, it seems like, the town gets better. You know, it looks better. A lot of things are being done. I know derelict property is always a concern with the council. And a lot of things have been done that way. Downtown's looking pretty good.
Well, I hope in another month or two I can bring an actual program to you.
Okay.
And we're really going to hit it hard in the next 4 years.
Okay,
that
sounds good.
We're going to clean things up. And I think the majority of the citizens would enjoy seeing that, and we'll deal with those that don't like the idea.
Okay.
As necessary.
Jim, I know there's a lot more going on at the hospital than just a big concert coming up in November.
Right.
But what's happening out there?
Well, besides the concert, which is going to be Veterans Day weekend, so we can say what dates it's going to be, we do have a lot going on. We're continuing to upgrade all of our equipment to stay cutting edge in town. We have a new CT scanner that's going in later this fall. It'll take about 6 weeks to install, but we'll continue service in the meantime. So that CT scanner will allow us to do cardiac scanning and all of the same things they're doing at the academic hospitals right here in town. So we're thrilled with that. We also have a number of new specialists that are joining us. So we have in our specialty clinics, we have a new ENT, which, you know, ear, nose, and throat doctor joining us. That's Dr. Garcia from Springfield Clinic. He'll be doing surgeries here in town, so you don't have to go up there with your kids. We'll have a new general surgeon from Springfield Clinic, Dr. Gonzi, who's starting with us. And we have several other new specialists starting. So we actually have a total of about 65 specialist clinics right now at the hospital that we run throughout the week. And, you know, every week. And so we're really looking, every month I should say, but we're looking to continue adding specialists so that people don't have to drive to Springfield or St. Louis to get their care. We want to get everything we can done here for them that we can do.
Yeah.
I love the HSHS approach. Like in baseball, you wouldn't want to have someone who ran the repair shop at a car dealer come in and manage a baseball team. And certainly administrators come in knowing healthcare, understanding the elements. But, you know, the fact that healthcare professionals have such a voice and their experience pays off in these administrative roles. Had a great conversation with Aaron Hunter. I know in the past I dealt with Dr. Chuck Lucor, who was the CEO at St. John's for a number of years. They really prize medical experience, and medical experts really help with the framework of what you do day to day, especially in a crisis situation.
That's really true. You know, in our HSHS division here in Illinois, six of the eight current CEOs are all clinicians who were promoted from within the hospitals. So, you know, and the others are also clinicians who came from outside. So I was a radiology, you know, tech for years and years, and eventually became this role. But I think it helps to know, you know, what it takes to have your boots on the ground. It certainly helped during this current crisis. It helps us to know what our clinicians are experiencing and what patient care looks like, what good patient care looks like. And I think it's just, you know, it's a testament to our organization that they value that.
And I'm sure in times of crisis stress, it leads to more productive conversations, because if medical personnel talk to you, they know you fought the wars.
That's true. And they know we've been there and been there and done that. And we certainly still step in whenever we need to, especially, you know, especially Aaron. I'm certainly not scanning anymore. I don't think anybody wants me to do their scan. but I can help move patients and get people where they're going and all that kind of stuff and check people in. So I can at least help out in that way.
Well, I was going to direct the next question to Dr. Furston now. I know there is a school bus driver crisis across much of the country. I don't have any hard numbers, but I had a great conversation with Police Chief Kenny Riker, who talked about the bus drivers and the expertise and being on top of any safety concerns and communicating with police when need be. From what I understand, it seems like Montgomery County in general is doing better than the rest of the country as far as finding quality drivers to keep the kids moving from point A to point B.
Well, I think, Sean, when you look at that, yeah, there is a shortage of personnel working in schools, just like there are probably in the healthcare industry.
Exactly.
Transportation is definitely a major problem, because we're, by law, we're required to transport students that reside 1.5 miles from the school district, or if they're inside of that in a hazardous area, we have to transport, right? But we're blessed in Litchfield. Bob Witter, our transportation director, does a great job. He had, before taking this job, had been a bus driver within the district. We're fortunate to have the drivers that we have. We're a little concerned when they do decide to retire, you know, or give bus driving up in terms of that, who's going to step up and take their place. So, you know, we're constantly thinking about that. But, you know, last year we purchased 8 new buses, okay? And I think that that's part of it, that you have to have good equipment for the drivers to operate. Driving bus is completely different than when I first got into the business. Most of the buses, you know, now are automatic. Way back when I was in school or teaching, driving the bus with the old twin axles, right?
Yeah.
And that type of situation. But, you know, they have air brakes, and they're really the safest form to transport students on a daily basis. So if you go to Springfield or you go other places that contract transportation out, you constantly see buses. We're hiring. First Mid-State, hiring bus drivers. You know, you do have to have a CDL. You do have to have random drug testing, that type of situation. You have to pass a physical. And, of course, when you've got 60 kids on a bus, you got quite a bit of responsibility as they transport our kids. But, yeah, we are blessed in Litchfield to have the drivers that we do and the commitment that they have. To not only our day-to-day transportation, but our extracurriculars. You know, these folks are responsible for hauling our football teams or club teams or whatever they are to out-of-town activities. And we can't thank them enough for keeping our kids safe to and from school. So they are just part of the wheel that goes round and round to educate kids.
Yeah. Mayor, how's the sales tax revenue from the new Windy City Recreational?
We don't know, and we will not know. Ironically, it is not, that information is not given to us. And it is, by legislation, not available to us. Unless we had two dispensaries in town, then we could get a total. But because there's only one dispensary, it would highlight that that's their income, or what their income would be. And so we're not allowed to have that information.
Huh.
So apparently it's just going to flow into our general sales tax. I'd like to address a couple of things. That,
sure.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
But, you know, these are some of the things you deal with. But I'd like to address a couple things that I think Jim can expand on. We go to each other's meetings. I mean, these two guys attend our Economic Development Commission meetings once a month. I've been going to the school board meetings now that they've altered their schedule so it doesn't conflict with council meetings. Greg and I and Jim also have been at the emergency management meeting once a month out at the hospital here. And it's encouraging all the professionals that are there trying to deal with social problems, homelessness, drug addiction, alcoholism, etc. And what was brought up this past week was the fact that nurses are in short supply. And also that we've got a new facility opening on the campus there. Is it St. Francis Way?
St. Francis Way Clinic.
Clinic, yeah, to deal with addictions and problems like that. And I don't know if Greg will agree that I'm learning a lot about, you know, the needs in this community other than infrastructure and this kind of thing, that we need to pay attention to our needs of our citizens and what they're going through, and which breeds, you know, theft and poverty and all these other things. Jim, did you want to?
I can explain. One of the missions of any nonprofit hospital is to address the health needs in the community. So we do a community health needs assessment every 3 years. This time we partnered with Hillsborough Hospital and Carlinville Hospital and the two health departments, and we did a combined community health needs assessment. Those needs were just identified, so that was just completed by SIU School of Medicine. The number one need in our community was mental health and behavioral health and drug addiction counseling. So the good news is we were already starting to address that at all of our locations, but you know, I think it's something that sort of people don't always realize, but there is a huge need in this community for both mental health and addiction health. Our emergency rooms at all three hospitals are every day have people that we're holding there for both behavioral health and for addiction medicine needs. Those needs are very hard to meet in all of our communities, and so working with the St. Francis Way Clinic, which is a federally qualified health center, will be very helpful because they're going to be doing medication-assisted treatment, which is the gold standard for treating opioid addiction. They're also going to be treating other forms of addiction and as well as mental health needs in the community. And it's the same reason we run our St. Clair Food Pantry. That's another identified need in our community. There's a lot of people who are hungry that don't have all the food they need and can't afford it. So we need to provide that for the community. And it's more about preventing people from having to come to the emergency room with all these ailments and needs. We're supposed to be providing health care, and health starts before you're sick.
Can you mention the Safe Passages?
Oh, absolutely. So Safe Passages is a program that it includes the police department. It includes several locations. You can come to the hospital, wherever. And rather than putting people into the criminal justice system that have addiction, it gets people to the help they need. So if they can come in and ask for help, they'll help get them to either inpatient treatment if that's what they qualify for, or to outpatient.
What you identify is that when a person admits, recognizes that they need help, it's a very small window.
Exactly.
Before they start feeling better and more confident about themselves and that they're willing to get help. So the access is there for them at any time to access the help through the clinic, and rather than ending up in an emergency room because there's been some major mistake.
We also have Gateway Foundation, and that covers our emergency rooms at in our Illinois hospitals at HSHS, and that's part of a grant, and they're available. They'll actually drive people directly to inpatient treatment if they're willing to seek it. So, you know, we can get you where you need to go if you need treatment, and we'll help you get there.
Well, I know it's great to see what volunteer firefighters also are a part of that Safe Passage program now, and it seems to be an interesting mix. Okay, well, first we said, okay, police are your friends trying to help you get through this, and I know some people maybe are going to be slower to embrace that than others. It seems like a fire department's a great addition. It just police or fire, it just seems like this program just gets better and better as time goes by.
No, I couldn't agree more. I think it's, you know, we all have to start identifying that that addiction and mental health is a problem not just for a small portion of the population. It's a problem for everyone in our population, and it's not something to be shunned or to be afraid of. It's something that we just need to take care of like any other health issue.
Three meetings in, how's the community risk group? I know you've had meetings once a month over in the auditorium, hoping to keep that going through COVID. Right. How's that process? I mean, just you have Kevin Schott who understands that emergencies aren't just something that happened where you have to be there right now. Sometimes emergencies are something that are ongoing and involve the masses.
I think the great thing about those meetings is that it's bringing all the players together in one place to start planning for how do we respond to emergencies. You know, COVID really called out how much collaboration is needed among all of the agencies that exist in a community. You know, we all know about public health, but public health really came to the forefront when we had this COVID crisis, but it involved everyone. You know, the fire department got us our tent that we had in front of the hospital for 6 months. We had the police and fire working with us every day. We had Montgomery County, at the time Montgomery and, you know, the other counties working with us on the response to COVID. But we have to be prepared for everything. And so if we can all have plans and work together on that, the more the better, because we're ready for it.
I think working together and consolidating the efforts is important. I think it was mentioned at one of the meetings that two churches have free food on Mondays.
Right.
And they both insist on doing it on Mondays, but then what about people on Tuesday? But, you know, God bless them for doing that. But if we had a more coordinated effort, I think we could have a better service.
I wanted to mention also, you talked a minute ago about St. Clair. We need to give some real props to Montgomery County Farm Bureau, which recently hosted a golf outing to benefit the 10 food pantries in Montgomery County. And I talked to Katie the other day, and I just asked her how it went. It was fabulous. They donated $3,000, $300 to each one of the food pantries. So there's people who are out there trying to help. So at least you're getting a little bit of help along the line with what the local governments and different organizations are doing.
Well, and the school district, too, with free lunches. And, you know, we're all dealing with it in our own way. So it's good to know that, you know, we can work together and all be aware of what each one of us are doing.
Well, Dr. Fersenato, we're, 3 days, 4 days into the school year, and you've had a few students test positive, I guess four test positive yesterday, and a teacher. And I look at county health departments, and the sizes vary greatly. And I see the smaller counties, they can't do contact tracing. They don't have the personnel. The fact that the Montgomery County Health Department, the turnaround time you get to keep the wheels moving is pretty impressive.
You know, we're blessed, and we tell our colleagues this, and what you're saying, Sean, is correct. There are other counties that school districts are in, and they're struggling with health departments. Hugh Satterley and the folks that work in Montgomery County Health Department are right on top of it. Unfortunately, Hugh and I have kind of had a day-to-day conversation with some of the issues that we're having, but,
sure.
You know, we have each other's numbers, we have each other's information, our nurses work closely with Montgomery County Health, and that's what it really takes. It takes a true partnership between the school districts and the health department to continue to keep kids in school, which is really what it's all about, and to have their efforts, whether it be staff vaccinations, student vaccinations, community vaccinations, they all want what's best for the citizens of Montgomery County. So I cannot speak any higher. You know, they're just Hugh and his staff are just fantastic.
Steve Mayor. So, you know, I know you guys, so you have to forgive me.
No, that's fine. That's my name.
One of the things that we've been watching as time goes by, you know, we've had so much work being done in Montgomery County. There are so many. There are just projects going on all the time. And yet I don't see any real traffic problems. I don't see any real delays or extensions or anything. Things have been going pretty smoothly through this pandemic, don't you all think, really? We've been lucky?
We've been very fortunate, very fortunate. Yeah. It's kind of strange to hear the news coming from the major cities. You're going, where is that?
Yeah.
But it's another good thing it seems like anything to be really aware of that's happening in the major cities, it's nice to have a little notification. Usually it follows that it's going to hit the rural areas at some point. And I think Jim's shaking his head.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Greg. So we're very fortunate in that way. We're also fortunate to be so close to St. Louis and to Springfield and other areas where we can take advantage of the amenities they have and not have to put up with the negatives. So,
true.
Yeah. So I want to hit one thing before, because it's not going to be around the next time. 9/11 of next month is the 20th anniversary of the attack on the country. And I've been working with one of the school teachers that asked about showing a movie called, that's from the History Channel, 102 Minutes That Changed America. We're going to do that at West Side Cinema and at my theater in Jerseyville at no cost to any of the area school, high school kids who are not even alive when this happened. You know, they're at home in mom and dad's basement killing zombies and blowing things up. But this is real. And they really need to see what that reality was. I also am going to book that movie for a week at regular showtimes for the general public to come see. I think it's something that we need to be reminded of. So we'll be talking more. I know you'll be talking more about it in a couple weeks coming up. So, but I want to put that out there. I think it's very, very important educational situation with a lot of our history being thrown away.
And Mayor, this is something I had a chance to talk to the chief about today. The tricky topic of the motorized bikes. It is such a wide open net of not only are we looking at something that people actually get a motorized professional, you know, the fitness crowd gets a bike that they can take up a hill, whatever, and then other people make their own. It just seems to be one of those crazy things where the definition is all over the place. The way people who operate them, one of them might look at it as an amplified bike. The other person might think of it as a little motorcycle. And I guess the same thing for the motorists who encounter them. So I guess that's been one of those trickier little issues that it's hard to really, not easy to address in one day.
We've been fielding a lot of complaints about some of the motorized bicycle operators that don't obey the traffic signs, are going a little faster than they need to, and they're hard to see. So there's a danger not only to motorists and people walking, but to people operating those vehicles. And we've looked into passing some sort of ordinance, but we find that there's not a lot of support with state statute at this point. So we're going to do what we can. We've got a couple aldermen that I assigned along with the chief of police to work on something, and we'll be discussing it Thursday night, tomorrow night actually, at our council meeting. So we'll see where that goes, but we, you know, it's a safety issue more than us trying to interfere with somebody's personal life.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with more. I hope you're enjoying our conversation today with Dr. Furstenauer, Mayor Doherty, and Hospital Administrator Mr. Tempe. So we'll be back.
Hi, it's Mike Fleming at Litchfield National Bank. Is it time for you to renew your license plate sticker? If so, we can make it easy for you. Just come into any of our three lobbies with your renewal or registration card, and we'll take care of the rest quickly. You have no standing in line or waiting for the mail, all for just a small convenience fee. We take cash, debit cards, or checks drawn on LNB. Come experience the great service of the Friendly Bank, Litchfield National Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, Earl Flack for your locally owned McKay Knapp Auto Parts store. We know oil. That's right, Knapp, a 1540 heavy-duty engine oil, $10.39 a gallon. Also, Valvoline Premium Blue engine oil, $13.99 for a gallon. How about some full synthetic Mobil 1 5-quart jug, $27.99, and get a $10 prepaid Visa card when you purchase it. Also, DEF diesel exhaust fluid, $8.99 for a 2.5-gallon. Get the good stuff with Napa know-how.
You've all been there. The unexpected car repair comes up and you're too low on cash to get it fixed. Where can you turn to make sure the job is done right? George Cruz at Cruz Enterprises and his experienced mechanics have the solution by offering 6 months same as cash with credit approval. They'll have you back on the road in no time.
Cruz Enterprises.
That's Cruz Enterprise in Girard and Verdon.
We are back with Dr. Greg Furstenauer, Mayor Steve Doherty, and also St. Francis Hospital Administrator Jim Tempe. Glad I got it right, you know. John Boland here with us as well. One common theme that we've been talking about all the way through has been positive, where there's very little negative going on right now. There's so much good. There is so much progress being made. Well, it's almost scary, quite frankly. It really is. But one thing we are dealing with that affects nationwide and does hit our hospital, and that is COVID-19, the Delta variant. And again, ICU beds, what's the situation?
In this case, we do have good news and bad news, right? The good news is we only have one COVID-positive patient in our hospital here now. We have beds open. The negative of this situation is that just like the other states, Illinois is starting to see the uptick. We're at about 8 to 10% positivity rate. In Florida, it is almost 30. In Texas, it's higher than that. When you get above 20, you're not, you know, it gets worse. Right now in Illinois, it is very close to with the ICU beds because of just other illnesses that are going on. Besides the adding that, we're always a little tight on ICU beds, but when you add in, you know, 1,000 COVID patients onto that, it eats up all the beds. So we have seen it. All the hospitals are seeing it. You're transferring, you're holding patients longer. Patients who are very ill are, you know, it's a jumping game to get a bed wherever you can. And the issue is we need to keep this at the level it's at before we get, like, in Texas and Florida, you're shipping people out of state. So we don't want to get to that place.
No, not at all. Montgomery County Health Department is, of course, continuing their vaccination clinics in the small towns everywhere.
That's exactly right.
All the time. But a big question is, if a person wants to get a rapid test, can he come to the hospital and get one? Where can they get a rapid test?
they can get those at the health department or at their doctor's office. So they're, because they're also going to want to look at what their symptoms are as well, because there's a lot of other respiratory illnesses going around, particularly in children. RSV is on the rise, and RSV is something that must be treated immediately or children can go to the hospital. So it's important that they get treated by a physician to see what all their symptoms are so we can make sure they're healthy.
You know, I think Greg covered a lot of it as far as what the school is doing on that last night at the school board meeting. Maybe you want to elaborate on that, Greg.
So when we I reported last night that unfortunately we've had some positive cases, and I reported last night that we had five students who have tested positive and then two staff members that are positive. And when we receive positive tests, then we have to go through contact tracing per the health department's guidance and the CDC. And when it really boils down to what we've implemented this, you talk about rapid testing, and actually you can buy the Binax rapid antigen test at Walgreens or CVS. So we've got a staff trained for that, and then students that were in contact, and, you know, whether you agree with masks or not agree with masks are the vehicle to keep kids in school because of the quarantining that we have to do. If we're not wearing masks, as I explained to the board, then those students would have to go home for the 14 days, right, according to the rules. Well, since we're doing this, we now have 46 students who are in test to stay. And what that means is that they were in close contact, but yet we're wearing masks so that we're testing them. And we test them on day 1, 3, 5, or 7, or if it happens on a weekend, then we'll pick it up on day 3. And as long as those students stay negative, they stay in school, which is really important. We would have 46 students that would be quarantined out of school. Therefore, our actual number of quarantines last night, we reported 14 students, right? So that is relatively a small number compared to the 60 students. So it does put a little bit of, not a little bit, but it's a lot of paperwork and it's a lot of work on behalf of the administration and the staff, our nursing staff. But we believe it's important that our kids come to school. And the more importantly, as I reported last night, this involved our freshman and JV volleyball team. So under last year's rule, we would not have those teams, right?
Right.
But this year, they're able to practice, and we're able to do the things that we can do. And this is true for any student. Right now, we're just having this at the high school. And that's why we encourage parents to complete the waiver so that if your child needs to be tested, we can test your child. However, we will call parents. We do call parents regardless to let them know that we are testing, even though the waiver is signed. But, you know, we have not had one parent turn down a phone call of a waiver to have their students tested, right? Because they know they can stay as long as it's negative. So, you know, we continue to work through our policies and our procedures. We're committed to keeping kids in school 5 days a week, full days. You know, there's nothing more in a couple weeks playing football. Volleyball opens up next week at home. We've got 95 kids in our band. It's unbelievable. Wonderful. And I watched them rehearse the other day, and they were outside rehearsing. And, you know, really, we talked, I said last night, that this year's different than last year. We were in a bubble. Okay? We didn't have all of the activities. We didn't feed the high school students lunch. You know, we started in a hybrid, an AB group. And then we got to 5 days a week with an early dismissal. But really, we didn't do athletics till when? The end of the school year, right? So we're trying to provide as normal of a year that we can to our students, but yet still stay within the guidelines. More importantly, keep kids in school. That's what this is about. And, you know, we explained that to the board last night. And that's why, you know, even though we've had a little bit of a bump here, we're still in school, and we are day 4, and we're looking forward to day 5 tomorrow.
Well, bars and restaurants, what they have endured certainly is incredible, with the restrictions and then the labor shortage. Mayor, what kind of jitters do you have, I guess, as far as the potential for resumption of any kind of mitigations in the weeks to come?
Well, I think we're all looking for the next shoe to drop, but I think there's going to be more pushback than there was the first time. And I'm not sure that that's... I think there's room for a little pushback, but at the same time, Greg's dealing with opposition from some parents. But there's little pain in trying to comply with something as minor as wearing it. I hate to wear the mask. I'll be glad when they're a collector's item in a museum. But if you can keep your kids in school, and a lot of parents are working now, and that's been a part of the labor shortage. They've been home watching their kids. Well, now school started again. At least they can work through the day, and that's got to help. But I don't. Yeah, what's helped the restaurants and the bars and other businesses like movie theaters and other businesses like that is the aid coming from the state and the feds, and that can't sustain itself. So if we get another hit like we got the last time, there has to be pushback or people are going to be out of business. So it's going to be, you know, comply as much as you can or stay home, I guess.
We got about 8 minutes. So all three of you have got about 3 minutes to tell me anything that we've been wanting to that I haven't touched on. So, Jim, go ahead and start first.
So I think the most important thing to remind people is please get vaccinated. You know, 97%+ of people who are in a hospital with COVID are unvaccinated. So the most important thing you could do for your children to stay in school, for yourself to stay at work, is to get vaccinated. There are breakthrough infections. Those are normally mild, which just, you know, you should always stay home from work if you have the flu. You shouldn't be spreading disease to other people. But the, you know, it's your symptoms are more mild. You're able to recover faster. The vast majority of people who are in a hospital or in an ICU or die are unvaccinated. So it's important that people consider vaccination for themselves and for their children as the age groups open up.
I saw a story the other day that said the people who didn't trust the healthcare professionals to get the shot are getting sick and are in the hospital being cared for by the people they didn't trust to give them the shot.
So. And I will tell you, like, note from behind the scenes, you know, the first thing people ask for when they're in the hospital, when they're in the ICU with COVID, is to get vaccinated, and it's too late. So it's, you know, and so I think, you know, the best thing you can do to protect your family is to consider getting vaccinated.
Mayor?
Well, I understand the boosters are coming, I guess, the booster
September
shots.
September 20th.
Yeah, and I'll be there in November to get my booster. It's painless. You know, we grew up in the days where that's, you know, every kid got a shot for something.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of mistrust in people doing things to you these days, but, yeah. I'll get my booster. Let's put it that way.
That's for sure.
You know, I think that, you know, as we continue to operate schools, I will, when we were talking about safe passages, please be aware that the buses are out there of our citizens to be looking for buses. I know we've been out of school for a while, and our buses are out there in the afternoon at a different time than what they were last year. So I would just say be patient. And we're going to continue to run schools.
Invariably, Sean, I always do this. I said, you guys have got 8 minutes. What do? They get through in about a minute and a half. So.
When Oscar music ready to go.
Yeah. Right. So, okay, we still got a little more time. We got about 6 minutes left.
Well, let's talk about the concert in November.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Jim. What's coming?
I'll tell you, I'm getting text about it right now. So Robbie's putting his entourage together to bring back here. We're really, really excited, and we are very honored that Robbie and Rex Robinson are willing to come back to the town where they started after so much success and give back to Litchfield and give back to the hospital for the third time. you know, something we would never have expected or even dreamed of. So it's a dream come true for us. This year the concert will be at the community center because of the you know, just for various reasons, but mostly because they're in November, so it's a little cold outside.
Sure.
For that time of year, and it's a little easier to social distance if we need to inside the community center. But it's exciting. We're excited to have them come back, and this year the concerts are going to benefit our cancer center, which is rapidly growing out of its space and needs to be expanded to continue offering all the cancer care we want to offer here in town.
Well, he has so many friends in the music business, and of course this year if the headliner is going to be Tony Orlando, I think that would make people... No, it's not going to be now. Okay, all right.
Great.
Okay, sorry I said that.
Great.
a yellow ribbon on the cancellation tree.
Right.
Okay.
Still right. Confirming, people.
Still confirming, okay.
Maybe Dawn's available.
Oh, right. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure Dawn was just whichever two random people were standing behind.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You two in the front row.
You're
Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Surprise.
Just follow my lead. That's
right.
It.
Right. These two, Dr. Firstow and the mayor, they're going to be Dawn.
We'd be
quite a show. I'm not sure I'll sell enough tickets at those prices with you and Dawn.
We would draw a crowd. Might be a dunk.
I might have to raise the price.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it's really something, these historic times. And I know the situation over at HSHS St. Francis Hospital growing and everything exciting that you're doing over there. Maybe that's not the norm in other places. The status of the hospitals in this region, and yours in particular, is pretty outstanding. Rural health care has certainly taken some hits in other areas.
Well, a lot of people don't know, but over 200 rural hospitals in America have closed in the last 10 years. And that number is growing with COVID. After this federal money runs out from COVID, it'll probably be many more that close. But in our area, all four of the hospitals that operate in Montgomery and Macoupin County are doing well. We're all here to stay, and we've all been here a long time. We've been here 146 years. We'll be here 146 more, just not with me in charge the whole time. But, you know, I promise.
I'll retirement?
No. You know, 145 years from now, I'll retire.
Well, and I know the old stereotype, doctors make so much money, and they all live in glitzy conditions. But we have certainly seen that they've dealt with some economic realities with malpractice insurance and everything. So they look at the bottom line. I have to think, with the things we're talking about, with a great new housing development on the lake, that you have some things, you know, when doctors do the dollars and cents, this becomes a real attractive location for medical personnel.
You know, it really is. And our physician groups here, we've been partnering with them to help recruit new primary care physicians to the area. Primary care physicians and family practice, which is what they all are, is the life force. When you don't have primary care physicians, that's when your rural health care system shuts down. So that's the entry point for every patient. And we're very lucky here that we have new physicians starting as early as next summer. We had Johnny Mihelsik start earlier this year, last year, August. I guess he's been here a year now. We have more physicians starting next summer, and in the years after that, we have new physicians coming on board as well. So their practices are robust and continuing, and we're proud to help them out.
That's awesome. It's been a great hour. A lot of information. Thank you all. A little bit of misinformation on my end, but what the heck? It'll be forgotten by tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Greg Firstenow, Mayor Steve Daugherty, Hillsborough, why do I say that? St. Francis Hospital Administrator, Dr. Jim Tempe. I'll tell you, see, this is what I do. This is part of my appeal for this radio show. That's it. Jim Tempe, all right. Thank you guys for being here today. We had fun. He's going to slap me about 3:08, I think, here's going to happen.
Well, you can learn a little tip from me. I do a radio broadcast like a baseball game. After 3 hours of broadcast, one run, two hits, seven errors.
There you go. It's about it. Thank you, guys.